It's me, Mark Lloyd.
The Mark Lloyd is actually talking to The Rock.
Mark Lloyd.
Has his man wide open. Oh, that's yeah. Bailey at the 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Mario Bailey.
Mark Lloyd.
What do we want as a sports fan? Huh? What do we want?
Mark Lloyd.
Have you had any water today?
There's water in my lemonade.
There you go. So I'm not a huge fan of vegetables. Okay, so how can I eat some? This is, you know, just blend them up.
Sit back, relax, and let this guy do all the thinking for you. Mark Lloyd.
Welcome, everybody. We're fired up, ready to go here. Seminole Bill, you ready to go?
I'm ready.
Terminus Eric?
I am ready.
Jam-packed show. A couple great guests that will be on the show today. Gene Williams of warchant.com.
Yes, sir.
Also, Joe Ostanowski.
Ostaszewski.
Ostaszewski. I keep on mispronouncing his name. From The Biggest Loser.
Yeah.
And now he's doing great things across the country trying to get kids to eat healthy. So we're going to talk to him a little bit later on as well. The College Football Playoff Committee, their second poll came out. Seminole Bill.
Yep.
So we're going to get to that. I have some strong feelings on that. I went from a big fan last week to not so big of a fan this week. Plus, we're going to... Would you say the best week for college football games for how many matchups there are?
Yeah,
I think there's six or seven ranked teams going at it that has lots of... Well, they have lots of playoff implications for teams that lose if you're not in the SEC, because if you lose in SEC, you're still considered.
Yeah, of course.
Everybody else, they're done.
SEC, that's right.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to talk about all the great college football games that are coming up this weekend, plus the NFL is another great slate of games as we march on to see. And we're going to talk about one team that just doesn't seem to get any credit. I'm the first in line that hasn't given them any credit yet. A lot of people are considering them now the best team in the NFC. So a lot of stuff to get to, as always. But first, let's take a look at the second college football playoff committee poll ever, which it is very exciting when it comes out on Tuesday nights at 7:30. All right, here we go. Mississippi State, number one. Florida State, number two. Auburn, three. Oregon, four. Alabama, five. And TCU, six. The big jump was K-State at number seven, jumped over a idol last week, eighth-ranked Michigan State. Then you got Arizona State, and then the Fighting Irish finishing the top 10. And Ole Miss is at number 11. All right. Well, all this poll did this week, and there's two things I'm going to get out there. All it did was, I'm not going to use the word SEC bias. I told everybody last week it's not in my vocabulary, but the SEC marketing machine is, and it validated it 100%. And plus, I want everybody to quit telling me, all the analysts, everybody else, it doesn't matter. Everything's going to work itself out. Stop with that. If it doesn't matter, then why do we have it? Okay, enough said. It does matter. I'll tell you why it does matter. These rankings of if you're one, if you're two, if you're three, if you're four, if you're five, if you're six, it all matters no matter who you're going to play in the future. Okay, first of all, Seminole Bill, tell me this. Mississippi State stays at number one over Florida State. Jeff Long, who came on, who heads up the committee to Arkansas, 80, comes on and says that, you know, it wasn't really even close. And I'm sitting there going, so Mississippi State, thanks to the SEC marketing machine that has convinced people out there with the constant hammering about what an improved Kentucky team this is. They barely beat a Kentucky team.
Arkansas, yeah.
No.
You're talking about Kentucky.
No. They beat Kentucky 2 weeks ago.
Right.
They barely beat an Arkansas team now. An Arkansas team, Seminole Bill, that has lost, I think now, 18 SEC games in a row.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yet, they're still a tough win because they're on the verge of winning. Folks, when you lose 18 games in a row in your conference, how can we still sit there with a straight face, especially without an agenda, and tell me that that's all? Why? Because they played Alabama tough. They won. Well, maybe Bama isn't as good. It's like, it is amazing. So they lost that. Florida State goes on the road, beats a ranked team, the number one defense in the country, Louisville, where, refresh my memory, Seminole Bill, 9 out of 10 analysts predicted Louisville to win. 9 out of 10 reporters and journalists out there predicted Louisville to win.
Yep.
Even Herbie? Gene, even Gene Williams, who's going to be coming up later off War Chant, predicted.
He thought we'd lose. By
Louisville
three.
To win, yes. So, hashtag SEC marketing machine. Florida State is still number two, which blows my mind because guess what? When Florida State was number one and Mississippi State had a good win, they jumped them.
Oh, yeah.
But now it's impossible, and that does matter.
Ain't no leapfrogging now.
You tell me this, someone will build. How does Alabama stay in front of TCU? Please. I mean, seriously, Alabama is at number five. TCU is at number six. TCU, just the common opponent that they have is West Virginia.
Right.
Alabama beat West Virginia more convincingly. However, it was on a neutral site. I know Clint Trickett had a better game and everything like that against Alabama, but still, Alabama beat him more convincingly scoreboard-wise. However, TCU went to Morgantown and won the game.
I would like to have seen Alabama in Morgantown. That would have been fun.
There you go. But after that, TCU, their wins, they've beaten a 6-2 Minnesota team of a Power 5 conference, the Big Ten. They beat Oklahoma, who's ranked at the time. They beat Oklahoma State at the time when they played them, was ranked. And West Virginia, as I mentioned, ranked. Alabama, other than the common opponent of West Virginia, has beaten a 21st ranked at the time, and you'll say it, because they fought Texas A&M. They crushed them. But what I'm saying is that, so let's take Oklahoma State out of the picture because they're awful now. They've gotten crushed. So at the time when TCU played them, they were ranked. And when Bama played A&M, they were ranked. So let's scratch that. So now, where's Alabama's two other signature wins to stay ahead of TCU? Unbelievable. So now what you're telling me is that we're going on the eye test, that they're looking at it. So they're all over the place. What is it, the eye test? So you're telling me that you think Alabama is just a better team than TCU? Well, if that's the case, then stay with that from the beginning. Tell us that TCU playing these other teams and beating ranked teams doesn't mean anything. Because guess what? TCU has one loss. Alabama has one loss. Alabama won against and lost now against a two-loss Ole Miss team. TCU lost by 3 points after giving up a big lead against a one-loss Baylor team. Okay? So if that's the case, and those are the facts in front of you, how on earth is Alabama ahead of TCU in the rankings?
Well, it's because Ole Miss happens to be in that vaunted conference. And Ole Miss, remember, lost really, really close games. I mean, pardon the expression, but a broken leg away from winning on that last game.
True.
You know?
And
they beat Alabama by how many points?
I don't know. Touchdown. I can't remember now. I mean, it was a close game. So you're right. So it's so similar. And everybody out there, and you could chime in at Mark Lloyd Show. All you SEC fans, and also Facebook, Mark Lloyd Show, and of course our website, MarkLloydShow.com, right?
Yes. Bring it.
So it's the same old story when an SEC team loses. Is that it was a tough fought victory. It was a tough fought. Oh, but it was a great loss. And when they barely win, it's always the other team was just, oh man, they're really an improved team. So Ole Miss loses. And here's what I'm talking about by words that come out of people's mouth that a lot of people listen to is guess what? When Ole Miss lost, the question was, so are they out of the playoff picture? They have two losses now.
Two.
And you know what? Nobody definitively says, absolutely they're out, other than me. Well, you know what you hear? Well, they're definitely on the outside looking in. Really? Really? If TCU loses a second game, do you think anybody, any analyst out there is going to say, well, I wouldn't count them out, but they're on the outside looking at, no, you know what's he going to say?
Out. And what about if Florida State just loses one game?
That's right.
Out.
You're gone. So if Michigan State loses to Ohio State, take care.
Gone.
If Ohio State loses to Michigan State,
see ya.
Gone. If Oregon loses to Arizona State maybe at the end of the year, maybe they lose this week, Oregon against Utah. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, you're a two-loss Pac-10 team.
Yeah,
Pac-12
pack it
team.
Up. Yeah.
So now the Pac-12 and the narrative, and here's what I'm talking about. It's not SEC bias. It's the great job, and I tip my cap to the SEC marketing machine. It's, oh my God, how powerful the SEC conference is, the Pac-12. Boy, we thought they were going to be a lot better. However, we hear the round-robin carnage, the cannibalism that takes place in the SEC. In the Pac-12, guess what it is? Well, I mean,
they play football out there.
Yeah. They're just
they don't play football.
Yeah, they're not as good as we thought, I guess. And that's what I'm talking about. And the reason, Seminole Bill, that the ranking is important, and I'm going to ask Gene this too, is that the travel schedule, first of all, that you want to be the first-ranked team. I mean, if you're Florida State or you're Alabama and you're ranked one, guess where you're playing that
Sugar
first round?
Sugar Bowl.
That's right. What is that, hour flight? Not even?
Not far.
Not far.
Bust that.
Okay. For these kids. Okay, or you could fly to Pasadena.
Yeah. And now.
And by the way, come back and get ready to play again.
And think about this. How fun is this? If we were to go there right now, looking at the rankings right now, guess who we'd be playing?
And
we're the home team.
What
type of advantage is that?
So that's what it says. I don't know if they make any kind of changes, you know, because of something like that. Or they
want two SEC teams beating each other in the Sugar Bowl.
So, I mean, that's why it matters. And also, it matters because of being able to get jumped. You saw a Florida State team get jumped by Mississippi State. If you're number four, if you're TC, it's that much easier. I want to be number three because if I'm number three, it might sound cliche, but if I'm number three, I know nobody's going to jump me out of the playoffs. No. But if I'm number four, Bama can have a big win over LSU, who got crushed by Auburn another week, but now LSU somehow this team on the rise and everything. Then guess what? They could jump, knock Oregon back out. The way the narrative goes. They all say, well, it's going to play everything out. Quit telling me it's going to play everything out. Go by what the real rankings are, and then if it plays itself out, then that's fine. But if not...
As it stands right now, 1-4 would meet in the Sugar Bowl, which would be?
It would be Mississippi State and...
Is Oregon?
And Oregon.
Oregon. Pardon me, I threw that out there wrong.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is the way it could play out is we wind up out there against a Pac team.
Yeah, so I'm just saying it matters.
Right.
And it really does. And I've more stuff to rant on, too. We do have to talk about how Florida absolutely crushed the Georgia Bulldogs.
Ran all over them.
Yes. All right, stay with us here on the Mark Floyd Show. Hashtag blame Jameis, Seminole Bill.
Hashtag blame Jameis.
Hashtag blame Jameis.
The hottest shirts out there. Pick up your hashtag blame Jameis now in garnet and gold. And they're going to be able to get it because the Mark Lloyd tent is going to be set up at this coming game against Virginia, right, Seminole Bill?
Yeah, the Mark Lloyd Show tent will be right there at the Circle K on Lake Bradford Road between the Whataburger, Bank of America, and Popeyes.
So come on by, say hi to Seminole Bill. Also, Terminus Eric will be there. Pick up your hashtag Blame Jameis shirt. They are not expensive, right, Seminole Bill?
Nah, 12 for the white, 15 for the garnet.
You know, you can't beat that. Support the cause. And it really is a cause now. The shirts are extremely hot. Once again, pick up your hashtag Blame Jameis shirt, the Mark Lloyd Show tent, which is where, Seminole Bill?
Right there on Lake Bradford Road behind the stadium at Circle K.
It's all coming at you this coming week as Florida State takes on Virginia. Pick up your hashtag Blame Jameis shirt.
It's me, Mark Lloyd. Okay, fans, Peyton Manning, LeBron James, and Andrew Luck, all number one picks. Now let me tell you who your number one pick should be when it comes to protecting your identity. Hands down, it's Rapid Pro from our great friends at Fraud Protection Network. You hear the stories daily, retailer after retailer, having their so-called secure systems being hacked into by criminals, and thousands of good folks like you instantly becoming victims of identity theft. Our amazing team at Fraud Protection Network has developed the next generation in identity theft protection. Rapid Pro, real-time identity theft protection. You get credit monitoring, lost wallet protection, and positive trigger alerts, change of address, payday cash advance, and public records monitoring as well. It's all there, friends. You get true real-time alerting, no secondhand stuff, award-winning member service support, and $25,000 service guarantee to back you up. Call Fraud Protection Network at 855-203-0683 or visit their website at fraudprotectionnetwork.com. Take it from Mark Lloyd. When it comes to identity theft, the number one pick is Rapid Pro from Fraud Protection Network.
If you have something to add to the show, it better be as interesting as Mark Lloyd.
Welcome back to the Mark Lloyd Show. Thanks for hanging with us. We are brought to you by Fraud Protection Network. Start protecting your family today with their Rapid Pro real-time identity theft protection. Give them a call. Start protecting your family the way I have at 855-203-0683 or Seminole Bill, visit them at
fraudprotectionnetwork.com.
All right, we said we're going to have Gene Williams coming up from warchant.com, and he joins us now here on the Mark Lloyd Show. Gene, how are you doing?
I'm great, Mark. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic, and the latest college football playoff poll. We're going to get right to it, Gene. What was your initial reaction when you saw the top four and Florida State not jumping over Mississippi State? Do you have a problem with that?
Yeah, I do, because it seems a little bit like there's a double standard in the way they do these things. I don't understand how Mississippi State can struggle by basically a 500 team and not lose ground, but when Florida State defeats a top five Notre Dame team, they don't seem to be given any credit for it because it's a close game. So a little bit of a double standard, but at the end of the day, I don't get too worked up about it, and I don't think fans should either. If FSU wins out, they're in the playoff, and that's really all that counts.
Well, you know what, CG, I it's funny. I agree with you, but at the same time, and I don't call it SEC bias. What I do is I tip my hat to the SEC marketing machine, which is what it is. The constant pounding, the constant coverage, and it does. It influences everybody. That's why there's such thing as advertising, right, and marketing. You hear it enough, you start believing it. But the main thing is to be in the playoffs. But don't you think that the seeding is important based on maybe where you might end up playing in the country and who you might be playing against?
Yeah, I think that's the one thing that would be a little disconcerting, because if you get that number one seed, you get a geographic advantage. And for Florida State, that would be obviously playing in New Orleans, which I'm sure would make a lot of fans very happy, and a nice little drive over there and a great time over there. But again, looking at Mississippi State's schedule, I have a hard time thinking they're going to run the table and go undefeated and hold on to that number one. If they do go undefeated and beat the rest of the teams and win the SEC, then, you got to tip your hat to them and say they probably deserve to be number one anyway at that point. Now, if one lost team start pushing Florida State, then there's a real issue there. And I think the other issue, obviously, is, heaven forbid if Florida State should lose a game, where would they fall in the mix with all these one-loss teams?
Well, it's like a consensus. If Florida State lost a game, they're gone. However, nobody wants to say it. A two-loss Ole Miss is out of the picture. What you hear is, well, they're probably on the outside looking in. And I'm like, really? Like, we can't just come out and say you're out of the playoff picture? And then, which leads me to my next question. And that is, and then we're going to get to, I want to know your thoughts on some Florida State versus some of these playoff team matchups, the possibility. It's always fun to speculate and look ahead a little bit. Since Florida State plays Virginia this week, it's not like a huge matchup or anything. But how is Bama ahead of TCU when you look at TCU's body of work right now and who they've played? I'm not talking about who Bama is going to play, but right now, how is TCU behind Alabama when TCU has beaten a 6-2 Minnesota team? They've beaten three other ranked teams at the time, and Bama has beaten one ranked team at the time, and that was Texas A&M. How are they ahead of them? Is it strictly based on the eye test? Is that your opinion?
Well, and you say Texas A&M too, and I always got a chuckle. Now they've kind of been exposed. They're not a very good program this year. So, that win, you got to look back and go, well, don't give them much credit for that. I think they're there because, you mentioned earlier, obviously, the media machine and the fact they're Alabama. There's some cachet that comes with that. They've been, outside of the last year or so, when Florida State's been dominant for the last 5-6 years, they've been the premier team in college football, and there's an aura surrounding it when you mention Alabama. So they get, they get some credibility for that. Now, whether you can agree or disagree with that, I think you're absolutely right. If you look at the body of the work, it's not even close right now. But TCU is going to have a chance to, I think if they win out in the Big 12, I think they're going to be in good shape. I've seen some projections by people like Jerry Palm, who I respect, who does stuff like this, who has them in the Final Four with that one loss. So I think if they do win out, they will be in the playoff, and deservedly so.
All right, so let's talk about let's forecast. Let's look in the crystal ball. I know you love when people ask you this. If you look at the playoffs right now, let's talk about a TCU and let's match some teams up against Florida State. So a Florida State TCU matchup, is that good or bad for Florida State? Do they match up well against them?
Man, the one thing I kind of cringe a little bit when I see, because the one thing I've noticed about Florida State with Jameis Winston, it doesn't seem to matter who they play defensively. If they're on, they're going to score. Louisville had the number one ranked, top two or three ranked defense on pretty much any analytic. And once they got hot and their back was against the wall, they scored at will. So to me, I almost would rather them play an Alabama or an SEC school than playing a TCU or an Oregon that I think, with a struggling FSU defense, might be able to score a ridiculous amount of points, and it would be a shootout. I think it would be a fun game to watch, But to me, those games scare me a little bit more than honestly playing an SEC team that's just going to kind of plod, and because I think FSU will be able to score at them.
That's a, you know, no, Seminole Bill, that's an interesting take, Gene. I know what you're saying, is that you'd rather have them play a team that's maybe not as potent on the offense side of the ball because you have such confidence that Florida State is going to come back in and win that game. Huh.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, if they get behind against an Alabama or a Mississippi State, you know, I think they can come back. I don't see any reason why they wouldn't be able to put up big points in the second half. Get down by three scores against Oregon or TCU, I don't know if you can stop them. I mean, those are potent offensive teams, and I haven't seen enough out of Florida State's defense to make me think they can suddenly turn it on against a high-powered offense and shut them down.
Which, and you know what, I agree with you, Gene, and not that I will, but it's funny, though, because you say that, and I think of the Auburn game, you know, and the national championship, a high-potent offense, but, you know, like we all know, it's two different teams, a different year, a different season, and everything like that. Now, sticking to just Florida State, and everybody's trying to figure out this first half and second half team. And that seems to be the narrative, you know, after every single game that they play. You know, why even Rashad Greene? What did Rashad Greene say? I heard a quote, him saying something about, I guess we should just act like we're down 21 at the beginning of the game. What is it? Have you heard, you know, any from your inside sources, you yourself being out there at practice and everything? Obviously, it doesn't bother them, but are they trying to correct it? And if they are, like, what are they trying to correct?
Yeah, we've talked to a lot of the players. We've talked to Coach Fisher, and you don't seem to get a real consistent answer. The one thing I think that has been thrown out there a little bit, because you're the national champions, because there's such a target on your back, that, you know, teams are going to save their best stuff for you. They want to knock you off. So, I mean, there's a lot of different packages on both sides of the ball being thrown at Florida State. And, you know, it's tough sometimes. I mean, it takes a little while to adjust to these things. So I think that's a tribute to the other teams being able to throw Florida State off, and a tribute to Florida State that they can adjust at halftime, figure out what the other team is doing, make the adjustments, and come out in the second half. And, you know, I wrote a column about it this week. And the one thing that's interesting to me, everybody talks about Jameis Winston, and definitely you look at the numbers, he's been lights out in the second half of these games when they trail. But, you know, the defense that I just talked about has been dramatically better across the board in those second halves, and even the running game that hadn't been that great. But, I mean, you saw it in the Louisville game. Suddenly it came to life in the second half. So, really, the whole team seems to just lift their game up. And I think it's emotional a little bit that they get pushed, and I think it's just making adjustments.
Hey, Gene, Seminole Bill here. Just quickie, you just mentioned the running game, which I think has been something that's, you know, from an FSU point, we've been waiting to come along. It looks like Dalvin just really ticked it up a notch. But of the three backs, you know, we've seen, you know, Carlos in the front, then we've seen, you know, Dalvin just recently really kick it up.
And then Pinder when he's not injured.
Pinder when he's not injured, right. I mean, of those three, you know, is Coach Fisher looking at the possibility of moving Dalvin to more of a starting role because he is a scoreboard changer, as he says?
You know, it's an interesting question. I do that, but the funny thing is, of the three of them, I think Pender might be the best, at least so far what I've seen this season. I mean, he's averaging over 6 yards a carry when he's out there, and he's been practicing the first couple of days, so it looks like he may be able to available this weekend. I still think you're going to see almost by committee approach, but that being said, you'll probably see more of what we saw at Louisville, where whoever has the hot hand, whether that's Cook or Mario Pender or even Carlos, I think they're going to get the bulk of the carries because Fisher is getting more and more comfortable with these young guys out there, not only being able to run the football effectively, but pass pro, protecting the pass or getting out in the flat. You saw how well Dalvin Cook did getting out in the flat and catching those passes from Jameis Winston. He brought that to the table too. So as the staff gets more comfortable with these guys, I think you're going to see a lot more of the young guys getting some reps.
You just mentioned Winston, and this week it was reported that the hearing is November 17th. Is that for Jameis?
The way they word it is the week of November 17th.
Okay.
I don't know if that means they have yet to schedule the actual day and time, but it's supposed to be sometime that week.
So if you're a Florida State fan, are you holding your breath? I mean, what do you think is going to come out of this?
You know, it's so hard to say because this is an odd. I've been covering FSU for a while. I've never covered a code of conduct hearing. It's something that's pretty secretive. It's all private, so it's really hard to figure out the procedure. I think the one thing that Jameis Winston's attorney is trying to figure out, what are all these weird procedures we're going through? It's nothing like a court of law. So from that perspective, it's hard to say. And we don't get direct information from FSU because they can't talk about it. So we have to hear from the attorneys, and they obviously have their biases and agendas. So it's hard. You got to kind of filter through it all. But at the end of the day, I look at it, I think it was a great move to bring in the retired Supreme Court justices. not that takes the pressure off the school no matter what they decide, and I think you'll get a more a balanced opinion when you put a couple students and a professor. Who knows what they're going to do?
What's your gut feeling?
Relying on everything else. So I think that's helpful. And at the end of the day, you know, if you look over the evidence, there isn't that much there. There's a lot of inconsistencies. There's some credibility issues with the accuser. I think someone who's an experienced jurist is going to look at that. And my opinion, I mean, again, I don't know how these things work. I can't see them giving any kind of sanction to Jameis Winston. And if they did, I think it would be extremely minor.
Hmm. Good stuff, Gene. We appreciate you coming on the Mark Lloyd Show. If you want FSU coverage and you're a Florida State fan, make sure you go to warchant.com. And there's all kinds of stuff there. You do, similar to Bill was telling me, a podcast after the games, and you preview everything. You always got great information about that and also the recruiting world, too, you know, about Florida State. But also you can get other information about other colleges as well. Am I right, Gene?
Absolutely. We are all over. Yeah, we're especially it's fun to follow recruiting. Florida State got 2 5-star commitments last weekend. So, yeah, first thing, yes, Coach Fisher, he'll downplay his coaching and says it's all about the Jimmys and the Joes, and Florida State's definitely loading up on them.
Absolutely. Hey, Gene, thanks for coming on with this, and hopefully we'll talk again soon.
Anytime. Thanks.
Thanks, Gene.
Gene Williams, warchant.com. Good stuff there, though. So if you're a Seminole fan, you could breathe, from what Gene was saying, a little bit easier on the whole hearing and everything. All right, when we come back, let's talk a little, let's look, I guess, at this week's huge college football games. Plus, Seminole Bill, got to talk a little NFL.
Yeah, we got
the team that's getting no respect yet. They've only lost one time this NFL season. All that coming up here on the Mark Lloyd Show. Stay with us. Hashtag blame Jameis, Seminole Bill.
Hashtag blame Jameis.
Hashtag blame Jameis.
The hottest shirts out there. Pick up your hashtag blame Jameis now in garnet and gold. And they're going to be able to get it because the Mark Lloyd tent is going to be set up at this coming game against Virginia, right, Seminole Bill?
Yeah, the Mark Lloyd Show tent will be right there at the Circle K on Lake Bradford Road between the Whataburger, Bank of America, and Popeyes.
So come on by, say hi to Seminole Bill. Also, Terminus Eric will be there. Pick up your hashtag Blame Jameis shirt. They are not expensive, right, Seminole Bill?
Nah, 12 for the white, 15 for the garnet.
You know, you can't beat that. Support the cause. And it really is a cause now. The shirts are extremely hot. Once again, pick up your hashtag Blame Jameis shirt, the Mark Lloyd Show tent, which is where, Seminole Bill?
Right there on Lake Bradford Road behind the stadium at Circle K.
It's all coming at you this coming week as Florida State takes on Virginia. Pick up your hashtag Blame Jameis shirt. It's me, Mark Lloyd. You know, in football, the quarterback depends on his best offensive lineman to protect his blind side. But let me ask you a question. Who's got your back, huh? Who's protecting your identity? You hear the stories daily. Retailer after retailer having their so-called secure systems being hacked into by criminals and thousands of good folks like you instantly becoming victims of identity theft. So how do you keep from being sacked? Well, now we have our own version of the Steel Curtain. Our amazing team at Fraud Protection Network has developed the next generation in identity theft protection. And it's a beast, baby! Rapid Pro real-time identity theft protection. You get credit monitoring, lost wallet protection, and positive trigger alerts, change of address, payday cash advance, and public records monitoring. It's real-time alerting, no secondhand stuff. Award-winning member service support and a $25,000 service guarantee to back you up. Call Fraud Protection Network at 855-203-0683 or visit their website at fraudprotectionnetwork.com. Take it from Mark Lloyd. When it comes to identity theft, you can't afford to lose.
This is Bill Bassett
and Eric Sweeney
with Bassett Promotions, producers of The Mark Lloyd Show. Want to put your brand with a proven winner? Outstanding advertising and sponsor opportunities are currently available for The Mark Lloyd Show. Give us a call at 877-738-3681 and we'll discuss ways to get your company on the airwaves right here where Tallahassee comes to talk on the all-new Freedom 93 FM.
The Mark Lloyd Show is powered by Fraud Protection Network. Start protecting your family today with Rapid Pro real-time identity theft protection. Give them a call at 855-203-0683. Welcome back to the Mark Lloyd Show. As always, Seminole Bill, Terminus Eric, and myself, we appreciate you hanging with us, chatting with us via Twitter at Mark Lloyd Show. Also, Facebook, Seminole Bill, right?
Yeah, Mark Lloyd Show.
And then visit the website, marklloydshow.com. So in case you missed any of the show, any of the interviews or anything, We have the podcast up there so you could listen that way. Look, this Lil Jon song is great, huh?
Nice.
What's the name of it, Terminus?
Bend Over.
All right. Good song. All right. Let's get it out before we get in trouble here.
Yeah.
As we wind them down right there. Time for our water check. I know we usually do it fourth segment. We're going to do it now, Terminus. Hit it. There we go. That's the water check sound effect. Boy, top notch right there, man. All right. Each and every week, we tell you, you should be drinking a gallon, even more, of water every single day. It's good for the body. We try to do it here on the Mark Lloyd Show, and we do a water check among the staff. Someone will be, you're first up. I crushed you last week. How are you doing? You're showing me the water
big,
bottle, the big water bottle. That's
bottle.
Right, 32 ounces right there, brother. So that's fine that you have that.
Yes.
But there's only about 8 ounces gone, but is that your second one? Where are you at today? What's your water check ounces?
I am styling with 48.
48 ounces. Terminus Eric. Okay. That's about usually my voice getting ready to lead into Terminus.
You didn't tell us yours.
Huh? Well, yeah, I'm going to go last because you guys have no chance today. I'm just crushing it. I don't know what it is, but go on, Terminus. How many ounces?
I'm at 3 bottles in the past day.
So you're at 17.
That's a record.
51 ounces. Oh, wait. Hang on. Timeout.
Bottles.
Timeout.
Bottles, a keyword.
Timeout, though.
Keyword. Well, actually, this is 20 ounces right here.
Okay. So you're at 60 ounces of water.
Water?
Of water. Water. Now, hang on. But here's the most important question, Seminole Bill. I mean, it's great that you've drank 60 ounces, but as being a journalist, back in my day, now talk show, but journalists back in the college days, there's always a follow-up question. Eric, why are you drinking so much water? Because that's not the norm.
Did we have
a rough night last night and there's maybe too much alcohol in you and now you're trying to drown it out with water because you don't like the way you feel? That's just me speculating.
Very
Is that
wise.
Terminus?
That could be a possibility.
Okay, there you go.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
So he needs to drink a lot anyway.
Okay, yes. Well, you know, I'm not that far ahead. I'm at 68 right now. But I'm on track for about 120, 136 ounces today, as always.
Hey, this water will be good for like the next 2-3 weeks.
Nah, I don't know about that. That's true with him.
Like TCU.
All right, so, yeah, exactly. Speaking of TCU, Seminole Bill, let's get into college football. A lot of great ranked matchups this week.
Yeah.
For non-SEC teams, it's probably do or die for them. For the SEC teams, it's okay if they lose a second game. We'll still consider them. Is that the norm? Excellent. K-State versus TCU. Great matchup.
Oh.
Fantastic matchup. Thoughts on the game? TCU, boy, they are battle-tested, but so is Kansas State. These are two good football teams, both battle-tested, both have gone on the road, both have played, both have a loss. The loser most likely is gone out of the Big 12 and no chance to make the playoffs. Who wins the football game, Seminole Bill?
Well, I'm going with TCU.
You know what? I'm going to go with TCU also. Even though I love Bill Snyder. I mean, you got to love him. I love Waters, the quarterback. You know, he's a typical K-State team. They're probably the one team in America that tackles.
They tackle.
They're probably the one team in America that has the best fundamentals. And the reason I say that is because they definitely don't compare talent-wise to the top teams in the country. They just don't. They don't have 4- and 5-star kids. The only time they get a 4- or 5-star kid is when he flunks out of another school and he transfers there. Yeah. I mean, really. I mean, that's the case. K-State lives and dies on JUCOs.
Right.
You know, that's how they have their program. TCU could score, man. And I looked at the game against West Virginia and said, wow, what a game. What a great win by TCU to be on the road in that environment. But the naysayers say, what a sloppy game. I say, hey, you know what? There's lots of turnovers. But that was two good teams going at it. That's why I like TCU in this football game. I think offensive-wise, they just have too much. They do. Yeah. If they get down, they can come back. All right, here's another big game. College game day is there. Michigan State against Ohio State.
Oof.
Oh, Lord. Huh? A lot on the line here.
That's biggie.
I am not a fan of Urban Meyer, so I am all 100% backing Michigan State in this football game. Cook throwing the football. Michigan State's defense up against, and I'll be extremely impressed if Ohio State wins the game with that freshman quarterback back there going up against that Michigan State defense. No, they're not the same defense from last year, but they're still darn good, aren't they? Similar.
Yeah, they're good. They're solid.
And offensive wise, they can run the ball. They can throw the ball when they need to. Anybody that watched them go to Oregon, they were smacking them around in the second half. However, at the end of the day, the better team won the game, and that was Oregon. came back, stomped them in the second half. That's what good teams do. I think Michigan State knocks off Ohio State in this football game. And I don't want to say we're giving Ohio State too much credit. I know they have that albatross around their neck that lost against Virginia Tech. So I don't even think if Ohio State wins this game, I don't know how much it does for them in the overall picture. I still think they're on the outside looking in. There's no way with that one loss that they get into the college football, even with Urban Meyer banging the drum. All right, quickly, LSU versus Bama. Somehow now LSU is just one of the best teams in the country because they're growing up right in front of our eyes. All that narrative, SEC marketing machine stuff. Everybody forgets they lost by what, 35, 40 or something like that to who? To Auburn. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they beat an Ole Miss team by a couple points, and LSU's great. Bama, though, will get the credit if they beat LSU at Death Valley at night. I might as well say it like everybody else does, right?
Yep.
Who wins the game, Seminole Bill?
Bama's going to win the game.
Bama's going to win the game. Why, though? Why? You think they're just the better football team? They're going to run the ball? They're going to throw the ball? Why is Alabama going to beat this upstart LSU team?
Because I don't think LSU can sustain a couple of really good ball games and the emotional stuff they're going through right now. They just can't do it. There's too many highs and lows for them. They're up and down.
See, I think it's clear cut. LSU doesn't win this game because they don't have a quarterback.
Well, that's, yeah.
Let me tell you something, folks. You're not advancing unless you have a quarterback, unless you have a solid quarterback. TCU is where they're at because of their quarterback. K-State is where they're at because they have a quarterback that's not making a lot of mistakes. Mississippi State, Zach Prescott. So you go down the list. Florida State, Jameis Winston. Auburn, Nick Marshall. Alabama started off hot with Blake Sims, but now he's a little shaky. Okay, Oregon against Utah. Another good football game. Utah is one of those teams that
bite you.
They're just a good team. They're not a great team. Oregon comes. I think Oregon takes care of business. They're on a roll right now. They're getting healthy on the offensive line. Here's another one that nobody gives any respect to is Baylor because of their non-conference schedule, and that's their problem. I don't have a problem when people rip Baylor for their non-conference schedule because you control that, and they played nobody. Even though they only have one loss, they played nobody. So Oklahoma, couple losses, goes up against Baylor. I think Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma wins a football game, maybe in a close one. What do you think?
I'm going to go with Baylor on this one, just a little bit. I think they have to prove their worth here.
Now, here's a big game. I think this is one of the best games of the weekend. It's Notre Dame against Arizona State.
That's a
Arizona
great
State.
Game.
Arizona State, the teams that they have to play and that they're going to play, and going up against Notre Dame, I think they have a chance to control their own destiny because they can meet Arizona State, can meet Oregon in the Pac-12 championship game. They win that game, they better be in the playoffs. And now they have Kelly back at quarterback. They're looking good, Seminole Bill. I think they beat Notre Dame.
Yeah, you know what? I think they could beat Notre Dame as well. It's going to be a close game, but hey.
Two good quarterbacks going at it. Kelly and then Golston going at it. So that's going to be a heck of a football game. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on. Let's jump ahead now to the National Football League. And the hottest team right now, Seminole Bill, without a doubt, is the Arizona Cardinals. But let me ask you a question. Is it just because of they're the Arizona Cardinals that why? It's like in my head, I won't give them the credit that they deserve. I don't know if I think they're winning by flukes. I don't know if I just don't trust Carson Palmer. I don't know if I'm not impressed by anybody other than Larry Fitzgerald, like as a marquee star. I know they have Ellington. You know, they have talent. Just obviously, they've only lost one game. But why don't we buy into them?
I don't know. I mean, it's... It is kind of fluky, but you know, just a few years back, they were right there
in the Super Bowl.
And I thought you were going to say my Steelers were the hottest team. Ben's throwing the ball lately.
Hang on. We're going to get to the Steelers. You know, it's tough to figure out Arizona. They take on the Rams this week, who just beat the 49ers that are in disarray right now.
Right.
And the talk is Harbaugh. Jerry Rice said Harbaugh is not going to be back, which I think is crazy. You do not get rid of a fantastic. Think of where you were, 49ers, before he showed up. You were awful. And then you became somebody again, so don't do that. Similar to Bill, we only got 1 minute left. Let's talk about your Steelers and Ben Roethlisberger throwing 12 touchdowns in 2 weeks. What's going on?
The 500-yard games, man, he's on fire.
He really is. It's like the offense is finally clicking like everybody thought it would.
Yeah.
So it's really impressive what Pittsburgh is doing. The Dolphins are kicking some serious, you know what, absolutely dismantling the Chargers. And similar Bill, that was one of the games that we previewed last week.
Yeah,
you know, we talked about that and how the Dolphins are playing good football. And then you have to talk about the Patriots just crushing the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, they really
And lordy,
did.
Lordy, they lordy.
Totally took
I just don't know. Gronkowski is so good, but I just can't figure out this Patriot
34,
team.
34, what's that record? 34 AFC games that Brady has won.
I just can't figure out how that team does what they do outside of, did this have great coaching? You know?
Yeah.
It's
too quick.
All right, when we come back, Bill, we're going to speak with a former Biggest Loser contestant.
Yeah. Joe Ostrowski.
So we have that coming up in just a minute. Stay where you are, my good friends, right here on the Mark Lloyd Show.
It's me, Mark Lloyd. Okay, fans, Peyton Manning, LeBron James, and Andrew Luck, all number one picks. Now let me tell you who your number one pick should be when it comes to protecting your identity. Hands down, it's Rapid Pro from our great friends at Fraud Protection Network. You hear the stories daily, retailer after retailer, having their so-called secure systems being hacked into by criminals, and thousands of good folks like you instantly becoming victims of identity theft. Our amazing team at Fraud Protection Network has developed the next generation in identity theft protection. Rapid Pro, real-time identity theft protection. You get credit monitoring, lost wallet protection, and positive trigger alerts, change of address, payday cash advance, and public records monitoring as well. It's all there, friends. You get true real-time alerting, no secondhand stuff, award-winning member service support, and $25,000 service guarantee to back you up. Call Fraud Protection Network at 855-203-0683 or visit their website at fraudprotectionnetwork.com. Take it from Mark Lloyd. When it comes to identity theft, the number one pick is Rapid Pro from Fraud Protection Network.
Hashtag blame Jameis, Seminole Bill.
Hashtag blame Jameis.
Hashtag blame Jameis.
The hottest shirts out there. Pick up your hashtag blame Jameis now in garnet and gold. And they're going to be able to get it because the Mark Lloyd tent is going to be set up at this coming game against Virginia, right, Seminole Bill?
Yeah, the Mark Lloyd Show tent will be right there at the Circle K on Lake Bradford Road between the Whataburger, Bank of America, and Popeyes.
So come on by, say hi to Seminole Bill. Also, Terminus Eric will be there. Pick up your hashtag Blame Jameis shirt. They are not expensive, right, Seminole Bill?
Nah, 12 for the white, 15 for the garnet.
You know, you can't beat that. Support the cause. And it really is a cause now. The shirts are extremely hot. Once again, pick up your hashtag Blame Jameis shirt, the Mark Lloyd Show tent, which is where, Seminole Bill?
Right there on Lake Bradford Road behind the stadium at Circle K.
It's all coming at you this coming week as Florida State takes on Virginia. Pick up your hashtag Blame Jameis shirt.
And now, a man that knows everything, Mark Lloyd.
Welcome back to the Mark Lloyd Show. Thanks for joining us as always. Last segment of the day, that's our Walking Dead segment. Kind of our entertainment segment slash sports, right? Right,
Simple
Bill?
Yes, sir.
So we'll talk a little Walking Dead coming up in just a little bit. But first, we got a special guest, Seminole Bill.
Yep.
A former Florida State football player in the 80s. Also from Biggest Loser fame on NBC, which is very cool. And also now part of writeitforward.com.
Yeah, Writing It Forward, man.
Writing It Forward. Sorry, excuse me. Writingitforward.com. It's Joe Ostrowski. Joe, how you doing?
Hey, Mark, I am doing well. Thank you for having me this morning.
No worries. Thanks for coming on the show. And, you know, I'm really intrigued, and there's a lot of stuff to get to that we're going to pack in real quick. But the first thing, I mentioned the Biggest Loser fame. And what season was that? Was that season 14?
That was season 14 of The Biggest Loser. I was one of the finalists on that show and took my health back as a former athlete that let myself go.
So, okay, so that seems to be the narrative when it comes to athletes coming on that show. So what, first of all, why did you go on other than the obvious? I mean, were you just saying, you know what, my health isn't as good and I know I need to lose some weight? And then how did you get on the show? Like, how does that whole process work?
Well, I don't want to take up too much time because we've got a lot to cover, but get on that show is a very tedious process. There's a lot of interviews, casting calls, and my brother and I, identical twin brother and I, both casted for the show. And what prompted that show was us, the two of us, sitting there waiting to see if our father, his heart was going to turn back on after his triple bypass surgery. And we were sitting there, and I looked at my brother, and having an identical twin, you get to see this 3D image of yourself. And I saw my brother sitting there, and I said, Henry, I said, look at the size of you, man. You're huge. And he looked at me and he said, well, what the heck do you think you are, a ballerina? And I said, if we don't do something about this soon, you know, us, take back our health, we are going to be in there next getting our heart operated on and getting our chest ripped open. And I said, let's do something about it. And at that point, I said, you and I, let's take this healthy pledge right now to lose 100 pounds, take our health back, and live the life that we were born to live. And that's an active, healthy life that, you know, we started out living. And we did that. And then the next thing, he called me and said, hey, we got to get on The Biggest Loser. I said, what's that? He said, it's a television show where you and I can compete against one another and be on national TV, go out there, get healthy, and prove to America that you can do this. We can beat the worst disease this country's ever known. And then we can get our foundation, the Wear Your Soul Project, up and running and help these kids and get healthy.
Well, that's fantastic. So how much weight did you beat your brother? Did you end up winning?
Well,
you're the person your company, family, and friends turn to when something needs to get planned. A meeting, an out-of-town conference, sporting event, reunion, church function, or a sorority or fraternity event. What a headache. Well, there's a little secret that's going to make your life a lot easier and make you look like a hero. Bassett Events is a professional event, conference, and meeting planning service right here in Tallahassee. And they provide site selection and contract negotiation services to you at no cost. Yep, no cost. As long as your event requires at least 10 hotel rooms for one or more nights. You see, Bassett Events gets paid by the hotel, resort, or vendor, and they'll negotiate the best possible rates for you. Bassett Events saves you time, money, you and aggravation, but still keeps you in control of the decision-making process. It's one-stop shopping, and you'll be a hero because it'll be our little secret. Bassett Events, exceeding expectations one event at a time. Call 877-7EVENT-1, 877-7EVENT-1, online at BassettEvents.com.
That ride was, I've been in medical sales for quite some time now on the lab and pathology side, and I've seen just the testing and everything else going out there, the different kind of healthcare system that we're going to have, this care, that care. And I thought about it, and all you have to do is open your eyes and look around. And I thought about our youth of this country, which is our future. And in healthcare, I said, you know what? I know what it is as adults and how we are and how we've let ourselves go, the 40%, you know, that are now unhealthy, living in overweight, unhealthy bodies. And I said, what about our children? They're our future. And you look around and you look at this right now, 1 in 3 of our children in this country suffer from obesity, from being childhood obesity, being overweight, being restricted, being limited to what they can do. And I said, you know what? I want to get a pulse. Number one, I want to raise awareness. I want to raise money to help our organization so we can establish these base camps that we're going to do, introduce these children to sports without scoreboards throughout our country at every college, major college, university, team up with the student athletes, these universities, the outdoor community, and really make a stand and have these sustainable base camps. But before I do that, I want to get a pulse. I really want to go out in America from one side of this country to the other. I started in Chevy Chase, Maryland at the National 4-H Council. We partnered with them, the largest youth organization in the world, and said, you know what, let's go across this country and let's get a pulse. Let's get the feeling. Let's capture the voice of our youth and hear what they have to say. Do they want to be trapped in these unhealthy bodies in the freest country in the world? I want to know that because I want to know if I start these programs and we get these programs going, my brother and I, is there going to be interest in it? And I will tell you what, Mark, we went from one side to the other, and the stories that we have on RidingItForward.com, the platform, you will see some of these stories and some of these children, and you will hear their voice, their cries to say, help us. And we captured that. And there's nothing more powerful right now in this country than the voice of our youth. And I want to take that. I don't want obesity to become the norm. It has become the norm. I want to change that. We have to change that.
No, there's no doubt about it, that it has become the norm. Your stats are right on, 1 in 3. As you know, I created an adventure to fitness program that deals with it. Same message. It's just about living a healthy lifestyle, starting at a young age and knowing what's right and what's wrong. And you don't have to be perfect, but, you know, all the benefits. And you're right. It's the future of the country. Now, Joe, how can people help you make a difference then? Do they go to RidingItForward.com? Is that the way that they could get in touch with you and help make a difference with your cause?
Great. Thank you for asking, Mark. That was our platform. That was our ride across America, the Riding It Forward Cross Country Tour, that was going to get this pulse, get these stories. I had an amazing filmmaker with me, Nick Christie, a local man in there in Tallahassee. He captured every voice, everything. I have 3 terabytes of video of data. Wow. That is going to show, when we do this documentary, show the voice of our youth and what we have to do to get ourselves healthy in America. Take part in that. But what you can do is, right now, this was benefiting, the Riding It Forward campaign was benefiting the Wear Your Soul Project. You can go to wearyoursoul.org, and on there we have what our programs are, what we're doing, what our plans are, and what we want to do, Mark. And you're going to be a part of this. You don't even realize it yet, but you're going to be a part of this because you are a brother. You are out there. You see this big picture.
I got my arms up in air right now, like I just crossed the finish line. I like it.
I hear you. We are going to establish base camp at every university in this country. We're going to introduce these 1 in 3 children and all these other children that don't participate in team sports to sports without scoreboards. Hiking, biking, paddleboarding, kayaking, all these fun rock climbing, all these sports that we can get these kids out of their virtual worlds, introduce them to adventure sports, and then take these children, have them work out with the student athletes, with professionals in the industry that are doing these sports. And you know what? We're introducing these athletes when they're done playing ball that they have something adventurous that they can go do and connect and find out what the real meaning of health is in these sports that you can do when you are healthy. And then you have the schools, the school of nutrition, the school of health and nutrition, the medical schools. We have everything there, all the resources, the rec centers, everything at these universities to bring these universities together and help make a difference with these kids.
Well, you know what's great, Joe, is that I think you're going to have a lot of, I know you have a lot of fans out there about what you're trying to do. And also we speak to a lot of former athletes, and as I'm sure you do too, and they want to make a difference. And a lot of them are making a difference in different ways. So they really enjoy being a mentor, and why not be a mentor to living a healthy lifestyle? Joe, thanks for the time. We got to go, but once again, it's Wearing Your Soul.
Wear Your Soul.
Wear Your Soul. That's W-E-A-R, right? S-O-U-L.
W-E-A-R, Your Soul. Just like, you know what? Your body goes back into this earth. Your soul is infinite. So wear your soul. Be who you are. Live the life you're born to live. Wearyoursoul.org. And they can go there and they can help support us and build base camps, get these base camps started throughout our country.
Well, Joe, thanks for the time. Congrats to yourself for living a healthy lifestyle and extreme discipline to lose the weight that you did. But even more congrats to helping spread the word and the knowledge that you have to make this country better. And that's what it's all about, leaving your mark and helping out our future leaders. Thanks, Joe. I appreciate you coming on the Mark Lloyd Show.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, Mark. Have a great day.
Okay, you too. Great story.
Yeah.
Fantastic story.
Yeah, another you know, FSU former football player, they're doing some great things.
What better way to, could we possibly get a better segue, huh, to our fitness tip coming off of Joe?
That was perfect.
All right, here's our fitness tip before we get to The Walking Dead. And that is, it's always tempting, Seminole Bill, okay, to take a break when training. But Men's Fitness advises that you should stick with rest times of 30 to 45 seconds between sets. Because he says, Men's Fitness does, this will help increase your overall endurance. So do not linger, chat. You know, I know you're always on Twitter and stuff and Facebook.
But I'm lifting.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's Terminus.
Okay, that's Terminus that does that. But he's not even lifting. So now we got an issue.
Eliminate.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Walking Dead this past week, before we get out of here. Another great show, but you know, they really took you. We didn't see any of the main stars. We got Beth was introduced this season, Terminus, wasn't she?
Oh yeah.
And in some kind of creepy post-apocalyptic hospital situation. It almost looks like just like a scary movie, right? And Beth is captured, tries to get away, is captured. Carol comes in at the end. So the speculation is this. Here's some questions, Terminus and Seminole Bill. Was Carol, who came in at the end, did she give herself up in a way, you know what I mean? Got captured, or did she actually get captured? What's the jury say? Terminus, do you think they captured her, or did she let them capture her?
I have a feeling that she let them capture her.
Okay, Seminole Bill?
I'll hedge on that, too. That sounds about right.
You know,
she's smart.
I don't think so, because of the way Daryl's reaction showing up with somebody, he was just a little different. He looked a mess, like he was in some kind of brawl or some kind. So I think she got captured. So I'll go against you guys. Okay, do we think Beth, at the end of that episode, when she had those scissors, that she was going to kill the doctor that had her kill that guy? You know, by injecting the whatever that was into it. Do we think that she was really going to kill the guy?
Yeah.
Terminus.
Yeah.
Seminole.
It don't look good for him.
I think she was too until she saw Carol. I think that she was legitimately going to do that. Who does Daryl show up with?
I have no idea. I'm wondering. I mean, maybe Morgan.
Morgan, not who I think, Terminus. Seminole Bill's kind of, he loves The Walking Dead, but you didn't see the first season.
I'm not the guy you are. No.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's Morgan, too. That's the individual from that Rick met season 1. Man, we could do a whole hour on The Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, it beat the NFL again.
Golly.
15 million people watch The Walking Dead. So for all you losers out there going, hey, Mark, this is a sports show. Listen, pal, it's sports and entertainment and fitness, right, Seminole Bill?
Yes, sir.
All right, Fort Terminus and Seminole Bill, I'm Mark Lloyd. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great college and NFL weekend.
Bye.